I'm sure that we're expectant. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God, give him praise. Thank him for the entrance of his words. Give light and understanding for the simple. Father, we thank you. We magnify your name. Thank you because of this day and this hour. It's an hour that you have appointed to come and to tabernacle with us and to teach us from your word. Thank you, Lord, because we will not live here the same. We will not take for granted your word that we hear. We will apply it in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. All right. So open up with me to James chapter 3. And I read from verse 1 and 4. Mind your words. For the sake of the technical team, the title is Mind Your Words. Words. Mind your words. Reminds me of that program where we were growing up. Mind your language. You don't mind your language. Huh? People are making me feel like I'm old. And yet I'm very young. You don't know mind your language. Okay, anyway. Now you don't mind your language now. So in that program, it was like a comedy and it was serial. It was every week. They had people from different nations and they were gathered in one class. And they have an English teacher. And it was important that the English teacher would communicate with them in English language. Oh, they were from different nations, Indians, Sri Lankans, Mexico, everywhere. And everybody was just there. So everybody spoke English the way they understood it. Okay? So you can imagine when you translate certain things in English in your own language, direct translation, it will mean something else. So of course, some people were saying things that were wrong, because of the way they were translating it, or the way it came across to them. So that was all that program was, Mind Your Language. Mind your words, very important. James chapter 3. It says, my brethren, I read from verse 1. I'm going to stop at verse 12. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us and return their whole body. Look also at sheep's. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Okay, let me just stop there. Let me just pause. So it says in verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. Says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us and return their whole body. Look at ships. Okay, so in this case, it's saying that if you do not stumble in your words, then you are a perfect man, meaning that your words locate you. Okay, your words will make people locate you. So when you begin to speak, we can tell, you know. So if someone is incoherent, you can tell the mental status of that person, ordinarily, right? You know that something is amiss. And if you are not observant, if the people around you are not observant, they will not be able to help you. You know, and it's not always that the person has a problem with his mental faculty. Sometimes when you have low blood sugar, very low, you will not be able to speak coherently. And if you are not, if people around you are not careful, they will just be laughing. They will know that you are dying. Okay? So it's very important. It says he's a perfect man, able also to build the whole body. So it means that if a man does not stumble in his word, then he's able to take charge of his body. Now verse 3 says, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us and return their whole body. So you know what bits are in horses' mouth. So you have this, to us it looks like it's a belt, but actually they put it in the mouth and then they put a ring in his nose, and that's what the jockey rider uses to control the horse. And it's not that he wants him to go this way, he will pull him the other way so that when they spin, he will turn the other way. So do you understand? That's why it says that you use it to turn the whole body, but you put them in their mouth so that they can obey. So not just anybody can jump on a horse and begin to ride. Okay? So if you see someone riding on a horse and there's no bit and bridle and he's riding, that person is very skilled. He's very skilled, because that's the only way you can make them obey you. Now he says that look also at sheep. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are torn by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So if you take time and pain to look at a sheep, underneath it there is a very tiny, it looks like blades, no blender. You know the blender, those blades in the blender, but they're bigger, okay? And they are there, very, very small compared to the size of the sheep, okay? So if the sheep is as big as this, the rudder is very small. You just see it underneath it, okay? So when the captain or whoever is steering, he's actually controlling the rudder. And that rudder will decide where the ship turns. So we start from the fact that if you do not stumble in words, then you're a perfect man, you're also able to build the whole body. And then he's giving us two examples in the fact that you control horses by bits that we put in their mouth. And then he says that as large as the sheep, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. So the Bible is very specific, it's very small. Okay, so it's telling you that, look, the things that you ordinarily will think is unimportant, okay, it's actually the thing that is controlling that big ship. If you go to Marina, very close, Bonny Camp, you see them there. When you see them from afar, they look small, of course. But when you see the ship, if you look at how big a ship is, they're bigger than this building we are in. Okay, some are that big. And, of course, some have ground floor, upper floor, just like a building, okay? But as big as they are, it says, even though you say, oh, it's the wind that's moving them this way, that very small rudder that looks so insignificant, okay, determines the direction that it goes. So even if the wind is blowing and you turn the rudder, and that's why when you watch those, I think the one that makes me remember the ship very well is Love Boat. I'm not sure you people watch Love. That film, I don't know it too. But that Titanic film, I didn't watch it. It's a wicked film. How can somebody come and tell you a story of how somebody died for him? And then that person lived to have grandchildren. Yeah, Abba. Maybe it's love. They say two people are in love. One now died inside water, freezing. The other one now came back and was telling the grandchildren. That means that one went to marry Abby. Anyway, so I'm saying that I learned about the ship when I was watching Love Boat. It was a Sunday program for us when we were growing up. We come back from church at 12 noon, you sit down and you watch and you just enjoy it. But everything that is going on, somebody stays in the driving seat. Okay? Once they get the direction, they're okay to leave it. But when trouble comes and it looks like the wind is so fierce and everything, you will see them frantically turning and turning and turning, because the faster the ruler is able to change the direction, the better for them. Okay? So that small, insignificant part of that looks seemingly insignificant does a very important, plays a very important role in the direction that the ship goes. And his Bible is telling us here that if a man does not stumble in his word, he is a perfect person that is able to control the whole body. Meaning that that word coming from your mouth determines the direction that your whole body will go. Okay. It says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Amen. Is a little member and boasts great things. I don't know the size of the human tongue. I don't know. But the Bible says it's a little member. Okay, so if you compare, so it has significantly or technically compared the size of the rudder to the ship. It's being compared, is the same way it's comparing the size of your tongue to your body. That is very small, but then it's very, very powerful. So see how great a little forest, a little fire can do. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it devours the old body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. Amen. So he's saying here that everything you can think, it takes a lot of energy to tame your tongue. And I'm always fond of this thing, telling you about entropy. You know what entropy is? Huh? Entropy is the natural state of things, and that's disorder. So everything exists ordinarily in a disorderly manner. That's entropy. Okay? So technically, anything that takes you effort to achieve is not the natural state. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you go to a parcel of land, you will not see each tree planted at equal intervals from one another. If you go to a forest, you will see them all scattered and everybody living in the habitat. The shrubs will be there, one tree will be this. You won't see anything that is beautifully carved out. Okay? It takes anything that takes you extra effort to do is not a natural state. So the natural state of everything is disorder. Eh? This air that it looks so fine, just leave it. Just leave it and not do anything about it. I let it be growing and you see whether it's fine or not. So I'm trying to make you understand that natural state of things is disorder. And little wonder in Genesis 1 that it took God to speak his words. In Genesis 1:1, it says in the beginning, okay, the earth was void and without form. Okay, that's the natural state of things. But he took God's word and the Spirit. He said the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the surface. And then God spoke. Okay? And he began to set things in place. Amen. And then the things he set in place, of course, we now come and say, I want my garden to be like this. And then we begin to design. And then you have a gardener, you have everybody. So everybody is doing things to keep sure that this thing comes out the way you want it. But that's not the natural state. The natural state will take everything, will just go bush. Okay? Now he's saying that every kind of beast, that's verse 7, for every kind of beast or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. If you go to Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, and I'm going to read verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what that means is that in the tongue, there is power. That's what it means. In the tongue, there is power. Okay? And that power either brings death or life. Okay? Am I very clear? The tongue is powerful. It either brings death or it brings life. And it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Hallelujah. So you have a choice, okay, of either eating the fruit of death, eating the fruit of life. And you know, James, and in the book of James here, he has clearly stated that to tame that tongue, it's almost impossible. Now, he's not writing, this book was written to, believers. It says, James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So he's talking to believers. And he's trying to let you know, understand that if you do not take charge of your tongue, and the thing, see, your tongue is not about swallowing food. It's not about swallowing food. And I'll let you know why I'm saying that, because that's one of the functions of the tongue anyway. But that's not the main function. The main function is the fact that in it lies life, the power of life and the power of death. So when you begin to speak and you speak carelessly, you will eat the fruit of careless speaking. And when you begin to speak and you speak word-filled words. Hallelujah. Amen. Word-filled words. When you begin to speak those words that have life-filled, then you will reap its fruit as well. So, it's not a prayer that you say amen to. It's not. Because it's, whether you like it or not, it is going to be. It says in it, in that power that it has, you have life and you have death. Amen. And that's why you have to be very careful. Don't speak things out of Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verse 33. Matthew 12 from verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good. These are the red letters of Christ. Okay, so these are the words of Christ. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the earth, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Amen. It says, out of the abundance of the earth, the mouth speaks. That's in verse 34, the B part. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, and where he started from was that, is either you make a tree good, and then the fruit will be good, or you make a tree bad, and then, of course, it will be bad. And don't forget the fact that we have been implanted, in us has been implanted the word of life. Okay, the engrafted word. That's why when we became saved, we have been engrafted. So what has happened to us is that when we became born again, we became saved. If that stump was bearing ugly fruit or bad fruit in the first instance. So I think I've explained grafting to us before, that if you have a tree, and if you have two trees, for instance, one has a bad fruit and another one has a good fruit, okay? And you want to make the good tree, the bad tree, bear good fruits. What science says is that you take a branch from the good tree, cut off the trunk of this bad tree so that you have a stump, and then you slit it, in, you make slits in it, and then the branch from there, you graft it, you put it in. Okay, and when you put it in, you seal it with wax so that it doesn't decay, and then it begins that branch, because you have supported with root. What you are doing, keeping that stump, is to support it with root. That branch will grow from that stump, okay, and then good fruit will come from that old stump that was bearing bad fruit. So what has happened is that you have engrafted that thing, okay. Amen. And the same way the Bible says that we have been saved and then we have been engrafted by the word of God. So we are implanted. Hallelujah. And in doing that, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. So that there will be no contamination. Hallelujah. So everything you see in the physical, okay, or in science also happens, technically force happens with God. Amen. So here it says that you either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree bad or its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. So if you say, oh, somebody is also used to saying bad words or words that are not consistent with the scriptures, then the first point of call is to first of all get that person a new birth, reborn. Hallelujah. In James chapter 1, Bible says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. You receive with meekness the implanted word. Another version says you receive with meekness the engrafted. Yeah, I think it's the KJV that says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. So if you want the things coming out of you to be good, then you have to have that engrafted word of God. It says it's able to save your soul. And we read in Proverbs that the power in death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat the fruit. Okay? And now the Bible is saying that if the word of God is engrafted, okay, it's able to save your soul. That means it will give you life. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you begin to speak the word of God, okay, speak in consistent and in alignment with God's word, then you are certain to have life. Hallelujah. You have life. Then you'll be living. Amen. You will not just be existing. You know, there are two different things. This chair exists, but it's not living. Abi? All non-living things, voila. Every object that you see around exists. Okay? But not every object is living. That's the difference. Okay? So once they have that engrafted word, it says it's able to save your soul. So you come and look at what it says initially. It says, Wherefore lay us apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. The New King James Version says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. So that means that what you are laying aside and what you are receiving, they are two opposites, two sides of the divide. So the wicked and the overflow of wickedness, and then the word of God, they're opposites. Okay? And if you want to, if you thrive in the wicked way, then that's death. Amen. You can say you are breathing, and then you are saying one day after another, but you are dying slowly, because the words that you are speaking cannot bring in life to you. He says you receive with meekness the implanted word. So let's go back to Matthew 12. And it says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of abundance of the earth, the mouth speaks. That implanted word is coming to flood your heart, so that when you open your mouth to speak, okay, you are speaking life-filled words. That's why at this point, there has to be a difference between the people that are saved and the people that are not saved. It will be a malady, or it will be out of place that I enter a room, I see someone that is saved, and the words that this person that is saved is speaking is grieving my spirit. And the words that the person that is not saved is speaking is making me feel okay, in quote. Then there is a problem. Because out of the two, the one that is saved is supposed to know better and is supposed to exhibit better traits. Because what you have received with meekness is the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. And if he's able to save your soul, he's not going to be limited to saying, oh, I'm born again, I have access to heaven. You are not going to be heavily conscious. How does that man say it? You're not going to be heavily conscious and utterly useless. Your usefulness on earth is far, far as important as that your heavenly consciousness. Amen. And it's even important in this time and era that we are in. Okay? Very important. Because things are changing rapidly on a daily basis. And it looks like everything is not just... Ever since COVID, is the new normal is not normal every day. You know, they said COVID brought new normal. That new normal keeps changing. Today, the new normal is different. Tomorrow, the new normal, you just want to say, ah, this thing is just moving this way and this way. But if that word that you received with meekness is truly implanted, okay, you are going to be consistent in the words that you say. You will not be breaking down the walls that you're supposed to be building with the words of your mouth. It says here that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. And that defines everybody. Once a man begins to speak, his words define him. I think that's where I started from. That your words define you. You cannot say that you're a good man and you say evil things. Hallelujah. You cannot say you're a good man and the words that are coming from you, they are not bringing life to you, and they are not bringing life to the people around you. So you have to be watchful. And you have to be very careful of the things that you say. But the things that you let in also matters. Okay? He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. So, the treasure of his heart is the thing that he has let in and he has retained. Hallelujah. What you let in and you retain matters a lot. Because that's what you retain is what you are going to bring out. Amen. So we have to be very consistent. Consistent in the things that we say, and consistent even when we speak with God. In Mark 11, Yeah, Mark chapter 11. I think I take it from verse 22. And these things, the things that God, the things that the Bible is bringing forth to us, they are all taking, is in the nature of God. Okay? And what God expects us is in his nature. So if every man has an invention, that invention speaks volume of what is in that man. So verse 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. He says, for assuredly I say to you, verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Hallelujah. And you know, oftentimes, when you are responding to people in anger, when you people speak and you are responding to them on your first impulse, you are saying the things that you strongly believe. And let me tell you something. I said it earlier. Disorder is a natural state of anything. And otherwise, the Bible says that a good man out of the treasure of his heart. So you have to lay up that treasure in your heart. If there's no treasure there, you can't bring forth anything good. Hallelujah. In the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that, I think Proverbs 12, I'm coming. Yes, Proverbs 15, sorry. Proverbs 15 from verse 1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Amen. Verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Hallelujah. That's in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15. I want to read another version, sorry. And in verse 4, it says, in verse 4, it says, a gentle, amplified classic, it says, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. Hallelujah. It says, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. Now, where did it start from? It started from the fact that a soft answer turns away wrath. And a soft answer will only come from a gentle tongue. Meaning that you have to have all manner of restraint before you respond to everything that you hear and you feel that needs a response. Amen. Okay, so if I'm calling you to order and you don't feel like being called to order and you want to respond immediately, you have to think twice or three times or four times before you respond in anger. Or if you think somebody has done something, is doing something against you, you have to be very careful. Okay, because in this age and time, everybody that is walking on the road is not... I don't know how to put it without offending people. But everybody, people are working with issues. There is a lot of mental health issues around. And somebody is just looking for somebody to say, "Now you call Sam." Okay? And then when you respond, you just wonder, say, what did I say that is warranting all this chaos? But that's where it comes from, that if you hear once, you need to think about it 3-4 times before you respond. Verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but the harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue, and the Amplified says, that is a gentle tongue with its healing power, is a tree of life. Hallelujah. So by the time you are trying, giving a soft answer, you are dispensing life. Amen. So oftentimes, the things we react to, you can easily react by asking a question. Are you trying to tell me that this is happening or this is happening? I'm not sure, or I am not sure I got what you said right. You know, sometimes, even the way we use this, somebody say, are you okay? Someone is angry at you. I say, are you okay? You are saying, it's not, you're asking if the person is stable. You just want to know whether the person is fine. But you have chosen to say, are you okay? That's a problem. Because the person will say, you are telling me something else. So we have to be very careful. And look, even in the place of prayer, Christ is saying, telling us in Mark 11, the Bible tells us in Mark 11 that whatever we ask for, what you say, where you believe, you will receive. And don't forget where we're coming from. We're coming from the fact that as small as the tongue is, it's very powerful. It can change the course of things. There's a part of the Bible that says that a man that will have many friends must himself, first of all, be friendly. You cannot be friendly with a harsh tongue. Or you want to sell market. You're angry. You cannot sell anything. People will just walk away, just say, this one that is just angry. You understand what I'm saying? And it's very important in your walk with God. If you're able to control your tongue, then you are able to control your whole body. Amen. You say, how am I going to do that? You have to learn to practice it. No, and then see, and in this age and time, everybody responds electronically. It's the same thing as speaking. Because when you're responding, you're sending words. And when you're responding and you're not sending the right words, you are going to cause a lot of damage. The Bible calls us oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Amen. We are dispensers of life. So our choice will be in meek words and in words that return, that when it hits anybody, it will be fine. Amen. You know, somebody can be doing wrong. And you're telling the person, but you know that if you do this thing this way, you can actually get a better result. And the person will stop in his track and have a rethink. Now I say, but some people are stubborn. Keep doing what is right and consistent with God's word. And let God have his way. Don't be God at the same time. You know, somebody say, I've been speaking soft words all this while. This person is not changing. Maybe if I change it. Maybe the person. If you change it, you will scatter things. So, there was this lady. She came to me. This person was worrying me. And I'm going to go. I'm going to ask her. Baby, my mom. I said, if you go. So I've been asking her all these days. And she's not paying. But I said, okay, if you go, there will be a problem. Don't go and say, did you not see my mail? I sent you a mail. You are supposed to pay me. I said, no. Assume that the person did not see the mail. I said, so when you get upstairs, all you do is, good afternoon, ma'am. I'm sure you did not read the mail I sent you. Because if you had read it, you would have responded. That's what I told her to do. And then she was like, why did I even tell you? I said, well, if you want to get anything out of her, don't go and attack her and tell her that she's inconsiderate or she's a debtor. Nobody likes to be called. You see, there's this person that in my office, she sells snacks. So when she comes in the morning, she comes to give everybody whatever you want. And then she carries a book. I mean, I said, don't ever put my name in your book. Oh. I said, even if I don't give you money now, don't put my name in that your book. Because I'm not worried. You are the one that has chosen to walk around and then come back for your money. So if you know you are going to give me anything, take your money now. I don't want to see my name in your book. Nobody likes it. Ah, you are owing money. Nobody likes it. So every time the woman is coming, she will smile. You know, so you know what I do? I said, I said, Flex, you'll be the one paying this woman. So she's always writing Flex's name. Because Flex will take his own, and then she will add my own, and then she will put his name. But you will not see my name in that. You will not see my name. It's Flex. I'll give Flex money. I'm not saying I won't give Flex money. But I just don't like the fact that my name will be in that, then you'll be crossing it out. And then you make me say, oh God, there's 100 naira that I have not paid. Ah, no, nah, Abba. I'd rather not eat, oh. Amen. So back to my story. So the woman, she went upstairs. And when she got upstairs, the woman is the one that owns the money. The lady is the debtor, Abby. So let's use it that way. So when the woman saw the lady said, they exchanged greetings, and the lady said, so it was about moving into an apartment, okay? So they said, I understand that you have moved in, you moved in on Saturday, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I hope everything is fine, blah, blah. She said she greeted. And then the lady replied and said, oh, yes, we moved in on Saturday. And please, I've not forgotten. I saw your mail. I just needed to settle in and make sure that, and then I'll pay you tomorrow. Then she came back downstairs and said, Mr. Mira, thank God. Thank God I spoke to you. I said, you should have just gone there and knocked. Bang, bang, bang. And you didn't pay. The woman will be like, are you okay? And this, are you okay? It's actually going to be that, are you stable upstairs? Do you understand me? So she came back and was very happy. I said, see, there's always a tactful way of telling people you are defaulting. There's always a tactful way of telling people, I don't like what you have done. Nobody ever, see, if you do anything to me, just change position and assume that it's me doing it to you and see if you like it. You don't do unto other people what you yourself cannot take. Whether you are right or you are wrong. Amen. And even in the place of prayer, the Bible is saying that the words that you speak in the place of prayer, they are very important. Because these are the things that you will have. Amen. Hallelujah. Our lifestyle has to be tailored along God's word. The Bible has told us and given us emphasis that this tongue, to tame it, it takes a lot of effort. That's if you can tame it at all. So there's nothing like I tamed my tongue yesterday. There's nothing like that. Because you live on a per second basis. And that's why you cannot but sink in the word of God. The spirit and the flesh, they will always be at war. Abi? But the spirit must always prevail for you to walk out a victor, for you to have that life, the one, you know, he says there are two, death and life, that in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. So if you speak the right words, then you see life. And life is not that you are waking up and you are sleeping. Your emotional state matters a lot. You know those people that give people the length of their tongue? You know what they mean? That they will speak to you harshly. Abi? Or you give them the peace of your mind. You speak to them harshly. So that they will go and think. So that, but there are certain times you can speak to some people and then they just decide, I know what, let me just go and enter in front of a trailer. Yeah. So for me, if anybody is correcting me and the person is talking harshly, I can't hear. You know why I can't hear? Because if I sink in those words, they will be bitter to me. So once I see that this person, the Maybe the person is coming with gear 5. You know, you start driving car from gear 1 gradually, Abby. Then it starts with gear 5. I will know straight away. I will switch off my mind. Then and then, my mind, I'll be playing music. You think I'm listening to you. I'm not listening. I'm not going to take my phone. I'll be looking at you like this. And I'm not listening to you. Because I've seen that what you are saying is not going to profit me in any way. And then you'll be feeling good that I spoke to that man. And I'll be laughing because I did not hear. You know, you can shut down internally. Abby? Women do it a lot. When the wrong guys come around. Hallelujah. By the time anyone is listening to you, be sure that you are saying something sensible. That's why they are listening. When you begin to say nonsense, oh God, they start carrying their bag or packing or opening. Hallelujah. Amen. It is important that you mind the words that you speak. If you don't understand it, don't say anything. If you don't know whether something is good or bad, will you do it? Well, if you are in the habit of doing it, say that life is a risk, please. If you are not sure whether it's good or bad, don't do it. And what if it's good? Because you are not sure, what if it's bad? So before you do anything, be certain, be sure that this is good. Amen. Everybody has a good conscience. And you know the intent of the words you speak when you speak them. Even to your children. And sometimes you want to show that your daddy and mommy. And then you close your eyes and speak those words from the core of your being. And then those say, show. These ones we say show. We don't used to talk. When they talk to us, we just bow our head. But this was Ava. It's not up to that now. What have I said? Abby? It's very, very critical that you speak the right words. If you are in a habit of speaking harshly, words that leave the other person sad or demoralized, stop it. Because the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You finish saying what you have said, you have killed somebody, and you don't know. It's better to say something and then you sprout life in a person than to say something and you kill that person. Because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we have. And that's what we should guard. James chapter 1 says that you receive with meekness the word of God, which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. And in Ephesians Ephesians 1:13. It says, in him you also, Amplified Classic, in him you also who have heard the word of the truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long promised Holy Spirit. In the New King James Version, it says that in him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the word of that you received, okay, forsaking naughtiness and evil, the word that you received with meekness has been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So there's no contamination. And you have to cultivate that habit of being sure. See, if you say something, if somebody speaks to you, or if there's a situation and you don't respond immediately, it doesn't make you less, and it doesn't make you an ignorant person. The problem is that there's so much ego on inside of us, ego, pride, that we need to say something and be like, ah, I can't go back home and tell them this one. There's nothing to gain from all that. But when you take it in, see, if somebody speaks to me today, I don't have to respond. I can call you 2 days after. I said, the things you said 2 days ago, is your response. So. And there's no, if you kill your ego, you stand a better chance of doing, saying the right things. Pride, anger, ego. They are not supposed to be in our midst. Amen. Thinking that you are more valued than another person is a problem. That's why you will not take what anybody speaks to you. You will not take it. You say, ah, from where to where? Who are you to talk to me? It's not right. Christ was 100% God and 100% man. Everything that was said to him, he absorbed. And when he was responding, his response was even confusing them the more. When they were trying to poke him, he was saying, thou seest. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. The type of wisdom and speech that governs our life displays the work of God in our hearts. Okay? And once our speech is characterized with purity and peace, then we are showing that we have a connection to God. But this ought to come flow easily from within. And a consistent use of God's word is what we need. Yes, there are pressures out there, we're going to, but that's why we are there, so that we can change the narrative. We can change the narrative. Let's talk to God this evening. Thank Him that we understand better that to weave words according to His will is what He wants, not to weave words according to our own ego or desire. Bible says about the fact that they will persecute you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you the words that you will say. So there's always a place of asking that, Holy Spirit, what do I say? And this asking is not 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's almost an instantaneous thing, because we ought to always have that work, consistent work with the Spirit of God. Give Him all the praise this evening. Thank Him that the entrance of His word gives light and understanding. Should do the simple. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you because a lifestyle that is worthy of you, a lifestyle that speaks volumes of you, is what you expect from us. And even from the words that we speak, it defines us most importantly. And thank you because every word that comes from forth will connect us with heaven and with you in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name.